Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. Today on the show, it's Foals. They've been releasing stadium-sized songs for just over a decade, but this time around, they changed up their process in pursuit of ultimate creative freedom on Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost, Part 1. Foals produced the album themselves. Drummer Jack Bevin says the band worked together in the studio to record the music, but then...
towards the end, we kind of all just dispersed around Europe and sort of cycling around lakes and things and left Yanis for about 2 months by himself in a dark room in southeast London.
Yanis is the lead singer, and that dark room was the studio where during the day Yanis recorded the vocals. At night, he spent time writing lyrics, sometimes while drinking at the pub.
I felt like it really worked for the lyrics. For my general health, not so much, but for the lyrics, it was great.
This is Foals' first album without Walter, their longtime bassist. You are going to hear Yanis and Jack, along with Edwin on keys and Jimmy on guitar, on some live recordings they did for World Cafe, starting with this one, It's Exits.
The
Performing live at World Cafe, that is Foals with the song Exits from their new album called Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost. That was part one, I guess, of a two-part album. The second part's coming out in the fall. Jack Bevin plays drums. Yanis Philippakis sings leads and plays guitar. Guys, welcome to World Cafe.
Thank you.
A pleasure. So on this record, it feels like you have really leaned hard into the strange corners of your sound and maybe gone a little bit weirder than I've heard from you before. And I mean that as a compliment.
Thanks. Yeah, I think we really wanted to give ourselves some real freedom when we were in the writing, and we didn't want to narrow down the song structures perhaps in the way that we had on the previous record. We just wanted to kind of allow the songs to get weird, like you said, and have some stranger structures and some stranger corners to them.
Yeah, and some strange images too. The first time that I heard the first song that we just listened to you guys play, Exits, I immediately thought of that scene in the movie Labyrinth where the Jennifer Connelly character is like trying to save a baby and David Bowie is chasing her, and there's stairs, and I think it's based on on Escher drawings too, where you don't know which direction is up. Like, that's sort of the frame of mind that song puts me in. Is that what were you guys going for in the imagery of Exits?
That's pretty much it. It's funny you said that, actually, because Jack sent over that clip from Labyrinth as a reference for the video.
Seriously?
Idea.
That's so funny. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. You guys nailed it. You nailed your reference. It was really clear. That's funny.
Wicked.
Yeah. Well, tell me why.
I think that just when we were jamming the song, it just, I don't know, often like I have a visual image in mind to accompany the music, and it's usually set in some sort of visual place, and for that one it just happened to be exactly what you're talking about, like a kind of strange, slightly macabre but also kind of beautiful subterranean place where people are living in order to kind of get away from the perils that they face above ground. Which happen to be things that are, you know, alluding to a lot of the real perils that exist in the world at the moment.
I want to talk a little bit about how the album got made, because I understand that you guys meant to go into a studio for sort of a couple of weeks just to track some demos, and then you ended up spending like a year and a half working on this giant body of new material. So how does that happen?
Well, I think on this record, I felt like for quite a while, I had been nagging Yanis about trying to at least start making a record, just us and finding someone who can engineer it, and basically just trying to maintain as much control as possible. Also having Yanis kind of take the helm of the production duties just kind of gave us a chance to get the record to sound exactly as it was in our heads without any kind of external influence coming in and changing it in any way.
Yanis, what was that like for you, sort of putting on the producer hat and taking the helm, I guess, as Jack just said?
Yeah, it was fun. I think at first, like, I had some reluctance, largely just about the workload. It also meant that, you know, we didn't, by not working with a producer, we didn't have that strain and that tension between us and a producer. We feel really proud of it now.
Well, let's listen to an example of a really standout, I guess, producing moment on the album, and it's on the song Sunday. It sort of happens about three quarters of the way through, and where the song takes on this whole other character, and it feels like the room goes dark, and then everyone has like glow sticks, and all of a sudden you're like drenched in sweat, and you're like, you know, that whole thing. Here we go. Tell me a little bit about the making of this song and the shift that you created that we're talking about.
That kind of shift kind of came out of just kind of the excitement of playing the song together in the room. The sort of chord sequence and the bare bones of the song, Yanis and Jimmy had been playing around with for a while, and we started playing it together. And, you know, we were playing it in the way pretty similar to how it is now, with the sort of slow kind of shuffly beat in the first half. And basically we kind of, I don't know, I guess after we'd built up to a sort of climax, I just got overexcited and started playing a dance beat, and then Jimmy put that pedal on that he has that does the sort of kind of sound, and it just felt really it felt really exciting, but also it was one of those things where we had to be really careful to make it
right,
because if you have a song like that that's that has that kind of vibe, and it's quite like a sort of intimate song, you don't want to just put a goony disco beat in the middle for no reason if it doesn't feel right. So
there were pitfalls with it, I think.
Yeah.
But we felt like we got it right on this version.
So when we talked, Yanis, about your workload, I guess, as producer of a lot of the live tracking that was happening in studio, I want to know when on earth you had time to write the lyrics for all of this stuff, because it sounds like such a natural process of coming up with the music together in the room. So when did the lyrics happen?
The lyrics happened towards the end. That's kind of generally how I work. So I'll have a central image, or I'll have certain lines that I know that the song will kind of be about, usually quite early on. But then I only flesh the lyrics out fully towards the end of the process. Certainly on this album, that was the way it worked. So we kind of got the music up to a really good place on all 20 tracks across the both records, and I had all the vocal melodies and stuff, and then I had some time to myself in the studio for a couple of months, and I just worked on the vocals pretty much like every day. I just only really worked on vocals for a few months, and then once they were done, the record was basically done.
Whoa. So it sounds like sort of more of a solitary process to add the lyrics into the mix afterwards. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I mean, I felt really bad because basically as soon as the music was done, as a non-lyric writing or singing person in the band, it's like, it's, you want to be supportive, but also, you know, Yanis needs to have space to do that by himself. So towards the end, we kind of all just dispersed around Europe and sort of cycling around lakes and things, and left Yanis for about 2 months by himself in a dark room in southeast London.
Oh no! So we always start seeing, I'm literally picturing you bicycling around a lake, and Yanis is wrestling with like these ideas about a very sort of foreboding state of affairs of the world. Like a lot of these lyrics are super super dark. You're like all by yourself. Your bandmates have absconded. what can you characterize? I guess what that time was like.
Yeah, it was pretty full on, because I definitely, like Jack was saying, I definitely need the space to be on my own usually when I'm doing the lyrics and trying vocals out and stuff. So it was solitary. I had a pretty good rhythm. I would get up in the morning, I'd walk to the studio. It was only like a 10-minute walk from where we live. And then I'd work on a bunch of ideas, and then I'd go to the pub afterwards on my own, and I would drink alcohol, and I would write more lyrics. And then I would try them out the next morning, or like edit them down. And that was the rhythm that I was in for a few months. And I felt like it really worked for the lyrics. For my general health, not so much, but for the lyrics, it was great.
Seriously, we're going to hear you guys play another live song from the album. It's On the Luna. Do you want to tell me anything that we should listen out for in this song?
Just a big, nice slab of riff.
And loads of cowbell.
Lots of cowbell.
All right, here we go. This is Foals live for World Cafe. Live for World Cafe, that is Foals with On the Luna from their new album, Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost, Part 1. And I am talking to Jack Bevan, who plays drums in the band, and Yanis Filipakis, who sings and plays guitar. So Foals as a band is 5 albums in. You guys, I think, are in your early 30s, and you made your debut just over a decade ago. Does it get a little bit more difficult to go as hard as time goes on? Like, it's hard on your body.
Yeah, I think probably a little bit harder than when we were 22 or whatever. I find, like, on my voice the shows are harder, partly because there's, like, screaming and there's all sorts of stuff going on in the songs. But I think physically we feel like we're playing as well, if not better, than we have before.
Yeah, I actually think that, when I was 21, I just was too skinny. I just didn't have the actual power in my arms to be able to play at, like, for the length of time that we play live now. So that's good.
Yeah, you've become a big, beautiful man.
Yeah.
Big, strong man.
So sometimes I wonder how, like, you have to be so strong to play the drums at the volume that you do for the length of time you do. Seriously, do you train for it, or can you go to the gym in tandem with that, or is it just muscle memory practice? What is it?
Well, at the end of touring the last album, I was finding gigs were getting really hard, and I think that was because I'd become more and more unfit on the road because of the amount of touring we'd done. So in the time off that we took, I was really, I just wanted to be really serious about, like, making it much easier for myself this time. So I actually got really into cycling. And that's honestly, I think, like, the best thing I've ever done for in terms of, like, drumming fitness, because I set myself a goal of going to France to try and cycle 1,000 miles in a month. And I just went and did that. And it was like, I know, it's kind of one of the coolest things I've ever done. And since then, I've kind of kept it up a little bit. And it's just, it's nice feeling really, really like fit and able to do the job as best as you can. Because yeah, it's like, you know, playing drums for an hour and a half, hour and 45 every night at the sort of velocity that we do, actually, you do kind of, it requires you to be at least semi-fit, you know?
Absolutely. Can you say a little bit more about cycling 1,000 miles over the course of a month in France? Like, just what?
Yeah. I mean, everyone thought I was a bit crazy for doing it because I went out by myself. I got an Airbnb in a town by a lake at the bottom of the Alps in near Switzerland, but in sort of southeast France. And I just sort of set my alarm for 6 o'clock every morning and just went out and cycled around the lake like 3 times and did, you know, like sort of 70 miles a day. And it was really good, actually, because we were in the process of, like, Yanis was sending me mixes, sending me like vocal ideas and stuff. And I'd listen to them in the morning. And then I'd go out on these long rides. And like about 3 hours into a ride, like maybe one of the tracks that I'd been listening into the morning would just pop into my head. And I'd have like really precise comments to send back to Yanis, and sometimes I'd have to stop the bike and write it down or whatever. And it's like, I guess, I don't know, like it felt like I'd sort of tapped into sort of a deeper level of thinking, which I've never really managed to do before. It kind of felt like a meditative kind of headspace.
Wow. Well, this feels like a really great time to hear the last song that you guys are going to play for us, because it is a super athletic song, and we can picture you cycling to it, and it's cardiovascular if you want to dance to it. The song is in Degrees. Do you want to tell me anything about it before we hear it? Maybe Yanis, I guess the song feels like it's about disconnect, but it's also such a come together feel.
Yeah. So yeah, the song kind of was just based around that the loop that runs most of the way through it, which was written through a pedal that I bought. And then I had this phrase about In Degrees in my mind for some reason. I can't remember. I titled the original demo In Degrees straight away. And like you're saying, I like the idea of the song being about, yeah, inability to communicate and dislocation and disconnection, but it being over a dance track that will bring sweaty, heaving bodies together on the dance floor in a way where there will be proper, you know, proper human contact in the experience of listening to that song. So it's one of our favorites, I think.
Cool. Well, let's get sweaty and have the whole band take us out on that song. Yanis and Jack, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's Fools with In Degrees live at World Cafe.
We're caught up in silence, and lose you in degrees. See you through the glass door.
In Degrees, that is from Foals' latest album, Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost, Part 1, which came out in March. Part 2 comes out in the fall. Thanks so much to the guys for the chat and for performing for us on the show. And thanks to our World Cafe producer, John Myers, for all his work on that session. I'm Talia Schlanger, and you are listening to The World Cafe from NPR.